podcast listener. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast from Italy. I'm Jason.
Ciao, I'm Ashley.
And together we own, operate, live in, and are coming to you from the kitchen of La Tavola Marche. Thank you. An agriturismo cooking school and little slice of paradise located in Piobico, Italy, in the heart of the country Italia. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay,
No, I was pulling up something for later, but yes, I'm ready.
Okay, today is the 20th of February.
Oh my God.
Is it Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
It is Thursday. Mm-hmm. Okay, 20th of February, a Thursday. It is a warm and wet, rainy day here in central Italy. It's too warm, actually.
It is too warm. Flowers are starting to... But I know we keep talking about this, but it is...
Not good.
No, it's just weirdly warm. We're heading to the coast today, and more on that later, but... The coast is always 2 weeks ahead, so I wonder what the hell's going on over there.
We have trees that are blooming, fruit trees that are blooming. We have the wild green, like the nettle
gosh,
that normally comes up in April.
The wild radicchio?
The wild radicchio that normally, and that's things that normally come mid-March, end of March, early April, is now here at the mid to late February. So it sounds great, like, oh, spring's on its way, but really... It's not good.
No, because here's why. Every year we've lived here for the past 6 years, every March we've had snow. So we are still not in the clear. And it gives us this false hope to start planting things. Or, I mean, I know we've got to start seeds and things like that soon anyway, but it's just confusing.
It's going to screw up the trees. It's going to throw the whole...
We've had frost in May, so it's like you just...
But anyway, okay, this week coming up, what's up? Dr. Gaji, the Godster, turns 65. And if you've listened to this podcast with even a few times, we talk about the old Dr. Gaji all the time.
And it's the Godster.
The Godster. It's his 65th birthday, and we will be having lunch on Saturday to celebrate.
Yep. Jason always wants to do a great gift idea, but we never get our stuff together.
No. I want to do a emergency, like a gag gift where I get like a box and it's the emergency box for
survival kit.
Survival kit. Thank you. So only open it in case of, you know, emergencies. I want to put in there, let's see, all things the doctor loves. So I want to put a framed picture of Berlusconi. I want to put a copy of the autobiography of Il Duce Mussolini.
A bag of potato chips.
A bag of potato chips. A small coffee maker, the Mocha, and a thing of coffee. A bottle of Sambuca, because he has to have that. A bottle of whiskey.
Some dried sausages.
Dried sausages.
Because we know he could live off of those.
These are things that he could be content, like, with this survival kit, he... could be content for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. We also need to throw in there...
the branches he likes to smoke.
Yeah, the tree branches he smokes from down by the river. Mm-hmm. But I can never get my act together in time.
I know. So we'll most likely get him a really nice bottle of whiskey.
Basically. Well, what do you get for the guy who... He's got every toy.
I know.
He's got every tool.
I know.
He gets mad at me when I buy him gifts that are expensive and cost money. Why am I spending my money on these things?
Oh, wait. We should do... If we still have time, was it your idea to do the all-expenses-paid getaway for two-weekend getaway to La Tavola Marche for two?
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
I think that would be really hysterical.
We're going to make him a gift certificate for a free weekend at our place with dinner and all that, and he... It's a gag gift.
It's totally hysterical.
Why on earth would he want a weekend here? He's nothing but here.
He lives a quarter mile, you know, down the... Not a quarter mile, but, you know, he lives just down the road. And it would be so funny, I think. So I think I'll make a really nice gift certificate. Really fancy
it
up.
I always think twice when trying to do sarcasm because...
Oh, true. We think we're way funnier than they do.
Well, sarcasm sometimes doesn't go over very well. Or we're not... good enough with the language that people...
It's not communicated.
It's not communicated well.
Oh, God. Well, we'll see. We'll let you guys know how it goes.
So now that the second half of February is here and spring is just around the corner. It is time to get going and planning your holidays. And we are starting to plan what is going to be going on here for the 2014 season. And it's coming quickly. I've been fixing toilets and you know, getting the house ready. So, and Ashley's been doing her part too, and putting together packages and all that kind of stuff. So what's going on for 2014, Ash?
All right, let's go. Whoops, losing the mic. Let's go over a few things coming up this year. Exciting stuff, guys. Well, thank you. I'm having a hard time holding everything. All right, so I think that our spring wild edibles is full. So we'll move right on into May. Our Made in the Market Dock wine and cheese tour, artisan meat market trip, and craft beer tasting and 3 cooking classes. That is May 13th to 18th, 5 nights, and it's €928 a person. And this is really cool because we're doing all things made here in La Marque, and that is a real taste of the region. Then in June, another 5-night package, the 10th to the 15th, we're doing a country, sea, and garden cooking classes. So a little bit of, again, a taste of the whole area. So,
but just in a different season.
In a different season, exactly. So the things will be really coming out of the garden, for example, and what we would get from the woods is definitely different.
Well, that's the great thing about coming to Italy, and when you come from the difference between May to June, or late April to June, is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a totally different place.
And then all summer long, we're doing a weekend special, a 3-night special, Thursday through Sunday, for €715 a couple, and that is going to be really fun because these 3-night packages, you arrive Thursday night for pizza night. Which is always a big party. Then Friday morning, we go to the market and do the Fusciani meat and cheese, go to have a taste of porchetta, go up to the Colesi for beer, and then go out to lunch. Saturday, cooking class, and then leave Sunday. So it's a really great, like, pack it all in. If you only have 3 nights to get to the area,
you
get to see a ton and really taste a ton. And that is for people who like food. That's a good one. Pizza, the market, whole thing, and then a cooking class. So that is $715 a couple. That's an awesome price starting at. And 3 nights over the summer. I'll add more. Well, and of course, since I'm talking about it, we've got our Forge Slaughter Butcher. My most favorite package.
I love that one too. Or what my brother calls it, Murder, Death, Kill.
Murder, Death, Kill, baby. We're doing it two different weeks this year, the 28th of October to the 2nd of November, and the 4th to the 9th of November, due to popular demand. And we're going to be butchering and slaughtering and foraging, and it's get your hands dirty.
I'm sure you did a blog post about it last year.
Oh my God, I know I have.
Okay. So if anyone's curious about it, go check out the blog. And that one's really popular, so I know it's the end of October, but should probably start playing.
We do whole hog butchery. It's really cool.
Whole hog.
See?
And that's basically the packages.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a few other things going on too, but those are the main ones. Really, I think the summer ones. So, if you don't have a lot of time to come to La Marque, that is the best kind of 3-night jam it all in.
And if you want, and if you are desiring something else and you'd like Ashley to put together a package just for you.
It's my pleasure.
It would be my pleasure. Coming up this weekend on Sunday, we have our continuing live cooking classes from Italy. This weekend, we are doing fennel two ways. Fennel, what is fennel? That crazy bulb that you always look at and have no idea what to do with it.
Or it's like cut into huge slices in a salad and you're like, oh, this is huge piece of fennel.
So we're going to do fennel with blood oranges, or you can get regular oranges. It's citrus season right now. We got an email from someone who said that blood oranges where he was seeing were how much?
$1.50 each.
$1.50 each, which is ridiculous. So if blood oranges are $1.50 a piece, just buy regular Naval Florida oranges.
Yeah.
It does not matter. But it is orange season in the Northern Hemisphere right as we speak. So where if you are living north of the equator, you should be able to find oranges in season right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do it as an antipasta with
really beautiful and really light
with the shaved fennel and the oranges. And then we'll do it as a contorno, or you can serve this as a side dish with a main course, or you can serve it as an antipasta as well. braised fennel in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the main dish, we are going to be doing a matriciana.
I love this.
Sauce of Lazio.
It's my favorite.
Lots of debate about this sauce.
Oh my God.
Good God.
I got to prepare myself.
We put a picture of, we were taking pictures with, we actually needed a picture for a matriciana one day. I don't even remember when it was. And all we had was fresh tagliatelle. So we tossed it with tagliatelle. I know you're not supposed to. Holy crap. Okay.
Backlash. Pasta, please.
And you even put it on the...
I even put the story that Rosanna says specifically that she would have been horrified by the picture, Gaji's wife, that it only goes with bucatini or spaghetti number 5.
Okay, we know this. Just relax.
And so there's like a disclaimer about the picture and people just, oh my God, I can't believe you'd use this pasta. And it's like, whatever. First of all, the sauce is so freaking good, I'd use it on my finger, okay? So I don't care.
So we'll be learning that one this weekend.
And if you don't have guanciale, pig's cheek.
If you don't have guanciale for the amatriciana, no problem. You can use pig. You can use pancetta. You can use bacon. Anything, pancetta or bacon, you should be able to. Everyone should be able to find one of those two things. But traditionally, it is made with pig cheek. However, my brother tried to go get pig cheek, and he said it was like $30 a pound, which is ridiculous. So listen, I don't want you guys to spend more on a pot of amatriciana than than going out to dinner one night. So, listen, if you can only find bacon, c'est la vie. It's pork belly. It's fine.
All right. And the week after that, we're doing stock or brodo and frittata with spring onions. And we're contemplating, I hope you're still thinking about it, putting those spring onions in the fireplace grill.
Yeah.
I think that would be really fun.
I have to order another camera so we can have a third camera for the fireplace. But they're going great. I'm doing my first private live cooking class this Saturday. So if that's something that you're interested in and would like to have a private one-on-one class with just me and you live, talk to Ashley. Ashley,
maybe Sundays don't work for you. And
you want to do it whenever.
On a Saturday or a Friday.
Or a Tuesday or a Monday, or it doesn't matter. Until the season starts, I am pretty libero. So that's that. Okay, so we got that.
Wait, no, I wanted to talk about also that the one on March 9th with the stock, the frittata, and the mussels and clams in white wine. That one I'm already like hungry for that one. But the one after that, March 16th, I think that one I know we'll get into it way more as we get closer, but that one I want people to think about early because it's kind of like a prep for Easter, like as a test run. We're going to be doing ribollita, which is just such a beautiful spring or summer soup. And with the stock that we made the week before. And so there's a little reason to the rhyme, but also we're going to be doing spring lamb. And I think
lamb in the oven.
It's going to be gorgeous. And we chose to do it a bit earlier for Easter. So you could give it a Tesco, you know? And,
lamb's expensive and it's not something you want to, I am never a proponent of trying stuff out when you have a group or a party coming. You need to do things that you've tested before or that you're comfortable doing. No, let's give this a whirl and see how it goes.
No,
that's a bad idea.
And something like the soup and the lamb, first of all, together, it's beautiful. Also, add a few other antipasti or salad. But you could feed a larger group with this if you're expecting to be hosting a party for Easter lunch or anything like that. So we'll get into that
more. I know we put ribollita, but should we just change it to more of like a spring vegetable soup? Because I know that there's going to be fava coming around. There's going to be peas coming around. So should we?
Ooh, maybe. Right now it says ribollita, but I can change it.
I know. Because ribollita is really kind of fall. We'll talk about it after.
Oh, yeah, with the kale.
Yeah, kale and barlotti beans.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about it after.
All right.
You can leave the picture. All you're going to do is change the title. You haven't sent out any recipes or anything.
No.
Okay, so we'll talk about that later. All righty. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this bad boy today. We have been...
This one?
Huh?
This?
Yeah.
Can I sing my song?
No. We're going to bring back our segment of Bitchin' About Bureaucracy.
Bitchin' About Bureaucracy. I want to have a jingle. I wanted to make a jingle.
So if you are a listener to the podcast, you know that I have been trying to get my Italian driver's license or talking about it for the better part of 3 months.
Much too long.
Yes. So finally, I have bitten the bullet and We are signed up and doing
both of us
Scuola Guida, or driving school,
or as you like to call it, the cartel.
Okay, so Scuola Guida is a cartel. Why do I say that? Because everyone is in cahoots with each other. No matter what driving school you call it, is the same cost. The thing that the driving school does is they, instead of you having to run around bringing documents to different offices, state offices,
literally half a dozen different,
it's a lot of steps. They consolidate and do everything there for you. So, for instance, before we can even get into a car, we had to get a
doctor
document from a doctor saying we have sound mind and body. So yesterday we had to go to the family doctor in Urbana, you know, the doctor's mm-hmm. office where everyone goes, and meet with the doctor at a cost of €70 plus value added plus EVA or tax, which is 22%. And basically what he does.
Wait, are we jumping right into what he does, or are we telling the story surrounding the doctor's
office?
You're
much better at telling the story.
Are we, like, can we, are we going to make this a bit richer? All right. So this is going to be a long story. Tuck in for bitch and butt bureaucracy.
Hold on, I'm going to get another cup of coffee.
So this was Jason's first time going to the doctor's office, really. So this is all brand new. So we first go into the back hallway, and there's this little kind of reception room, and you see your doctor's name, and there's numbers. You take a number to wait for your doctor. But it's not like the number machines that must cost nothing because they're at every grocery store here for like the meat counter or the bread counter. No. They don't have one of those normal pull tabs. They have homemade.
Where you pull the numbers and it's a little paper number. It's a weird shape. Yeah. It comes out.
It's all done. Whatever. It's everywhere. No, these are homemade, probably made about 15, 20 years ago. Handwritten pieces of paper.
With the numbers.
I don't even think they were laminated. Mm-mm. Then you take your number for your doctor and you go to the waiting room of your doctor. Now, your waiting room, every two doctors shares a waiting room. It is so bizarre. So there's a couple offices, a couple waiting rooms, a couple offices, another waiting room. So as soon as you walk in with your number, it is like ants swarming you. Que numero che? Like, what number do you have? Whose number? So the number, here's the number I have. And all because.
You're going to see Saucy, right? You're going to see Dr. Saucy?
You're going to see Saucy?
What do you need? Because how long, they want to gauge how much time you're going to be in there. Do you need a signature? Do you need a new prescription? Or do you need.
Do you have a malattia? Do you have a sickness? Like, it is hysterical. It's all oldies. No privacy, please. That's not privacy. And they all just want to know and get the numbers in order. Then there was a Grande Casino because we found out numbers were out of order in the little stack, the official stack at the front desk. So some guy had to go back and get a different number. So we had to recalculate whose numbers were whose. This happened every single time someone new walked into the waiting room. You had to identify who was next, who was before you, who was after you, and who was in there right now, and kind of talk about how long they've been in there and curious what they're talking about.
Now, one girl came in, and she just needed a signature on a piece of paper. So she kind of announced to the room that all she needs is a signature, and she wanted to jump the line.
I don't like jumping. I don't like line jumpers. I'm going to say that right now.
There was a lot of hemming and hawing, but the consensus was that it was okay for her to get a signature as long as – and everyone had to give the yay,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. we were the last ones, and everyone looks at us like the yay. And, of course, I'm not going to say no. I don't care. Like,
no, exactly. But also it was because she was after us. Like, she was going to be jumping in before us.
But there was other people behind us, so everyone has to agree to it. Anyway – when she goes in and shuts the door, they're at, like, meaning
yes,
the
like,
door
if
is
the
not-
door stays open, it's like, all right, this is just a signature involved. Door closes.
Who knows? You can't – now you can't
– nope.
No looks can be thrown her way, nothing. So there was a lot of hemming and hawing.
But before she even went in, Jason and I – you never know how long this is going to take. We brought some flashcards with us, and we're doing flashcards. And
Italian language flashcards.
Yeah, and things like weird stuff for our, like the driving school stuff, too. So, like, what's the center medium called? And I don't know, kind of.
Weird technical vocabulary that it's time to increase
it's not like
our
good
vocabulary.
Morning.
Yeah.
So the room starts.
Very curious.
They're very serious. You could hear some mumbling. And then they just decided to start shouting out the words in Italian. And they don't know what they are in English at all, but they would see the word in Italian. So, and Jason was waiting for me.
Spartitrofico.
Yeah, and they'd all... I'll yell it out. It was hysterical. Then the woman, the line cutter, she comes over and was like, oh, good morning. Yes, English. I speak some or some. I don't know. She started wanting to speak some English. So Jason said, all right, try this one. And it was to freak out. And she kept thinking that it was fuck out. And it was hysterical because here we are in a doctor's office. Jason and I are the youngest people there by 20 years. And this crazy lady
keeps shouting the F word.
Yeah. And then starts saying vaffanculo. Oh, we know what it means. Yes, yes. And
we're like, no,
that's
no.
Not at all what it was. And she was like, I can say this in English.
So that was, and in all, what did we wait, a half hour?
Yeah.
And we're just... It's really not that bad. It's actually kind of great that you get see everyone in there.
You saw like a father, an old guy sitting in the room with us, and it just so happens. I mean, Urbana is not a whole lot bigger than Piobico. How big of this town is Urbana?
5,000-7,000 people.
Okay, so we're waiting in line. Walks this old man's son and his grandchild, and he's like, oh, Baba, what are you doing here? And they like run into each other at the doctor's office, and I don't know, everyone has to stop and they all know each other, and oh, let's get a coffee after. Oh, and that's what you were saying, that no wonder Gaji always, tell what you said Gaji tells you about when he goes to work.
So when Gaji goes to work, he is the cardiologist in the same deal. He works in what's called an ambulatory, or the doctor, you know, the doctor's offices. And He'll two times a morning at specific times, he will stop, get up, you know, he's done with the patient, and walk out and go get a coffee. And he'll walk by 25 people in a waiting room waiting to see him, and he just walks right out. And we saw a doctor walk right by, and I thought, God, this must be what these
people...
That's
what you were saying.
Like, these people see the guy they're waiting to see just put on his hat and coat and walk out to go get a coffee, and you know he's gone for 10 minutes, and TS, right?
Exactly. Okay, so finally it's our turn, and there's been a lot of discussion between Jason and I before we go in. As mentioned before, Jason calls this the cartel and is like, this is all going to be bullshit, there's no way. And I keep thinking, he's like, they're just going to sign off, we're going to be in there for 2 seconds. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, we're going to the doctor. They're going to take our height, our weight. I was like, I think you're just scared that you're going to find out you've got high blood or high cholesterol. And he was like, are you kidding me? He goes, they're not doing any of that stuff. And I was like, what? And we just keep having these conversations. I'm thinking.
Ashley thinks we're getting
a blood analysis.
Blood analysis, workup. She wouldn't be surprised if they give me the finger up the butt test. No, Ashley. This is a racket. They want their easy money. Everyone's got their hand out in this getting your license process for 50 to 100 euro.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
The doctor's not that expensive. 70 bucks. They've got to be doing something. So we go in. They call our number. We're up. And we go in and sit down. And the guy is just enamored that we're Americans, first and foremost. Oh, grande. Grande. Americani.
So we tell him what we're looking for. Oh, yes. No problem. All right.
I'm sorry to interrupt. First of all, he did know what we were talking about. The crazy receptionist, first of all, half the people we talked to had no idea what we were talking about. We have a piece of paper, a card from the auto school. Yeah, that says what this document is. Yet half the people who we have brought it up to in the medical industry or in the car world have no clue. They look at us like we're speaking Chinese.
So the front desk receptionist, when we told her what we were here to see the doctor for, had no clue what we
She just kept saying no.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I showed her the card, the piece of paper from the driving school, which says the certificate that we needed.
Just a handshaking note. We said that your other colleague at the other end of the hallway sent us here, just saying you would know where to go. No idea. How about 6 out of 10 doors have this printed on it, the information
of cost and for different, because every
that literally says certificato medico di familia. Yeah. That's all we're looking for, and that's what she has no clue.
Anyway, so we go in, and he, okay, where do you live? Whose patient are you? Well, we're your patient. Okay. So he types in some stuff into a computer and then pulls out two photocopied sheets of paper.
Which took forever for him to find. That was also really comical.
Yes. There's about, I don't know, 18 questions on there.
Sure.
Okay. He fills in our name at the
top. Doesn't matter if it was 2 or 20.
Fills in our name at the top. Fills in our codice fiscale, which is like our tax code, basically
our social security number.
And where we live, and then runs the pen all the way down the no column.
Doesn't ask us a single question on there.
Stamps it, signs it, stamps it, hands it back to us, and we're out of there.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my God, he's filling out at the thing, and he's not even asking us a single one of these questions.
Do we have the sheet of paper?
No, we had to turn it in.
Oh, we turned it in. Basically, it was like...
Are you psychological problems?
Yeah, do you have any psychological problems? Are you mentally fit? Have you ever been admitted to a hospital for mental issues? Blah, blah. Do you have headaches? Blah, blah, blah. Do you hear voices?
No, instead we're just looking around the room, which...
looks like an office.
Where do they do examinations is what I want to know. There was one regular cheapy scale
like you find in your bathroom.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
It was pushed under a table.
And like a cabinet with a bunch of pharmaceutical freebie shit.
Yeah, and there was also a cuff for blood pressure. But other than that, it was a desk and a coat rack and bookshelves.
And you noticed the diploma.
His diploma was gorgeous. So I couldn't help but notice it because it was gigantic. It took up the whole freaking wall. And it was not on paper. It was on fabric, like a woven fabric, because the edges were all like the edges.
Scroll. Like, yeah, like, yeah, frayed.
Frayed. Mm-hmm. It was just gorgeous. I couldn't help but notice it.
I know, with color and design and stuff.
And all done by hand, like all the drawings you could tell were done by hand, and all the inlaid stamps. And the Italians love stamps, so there was raised seals. But anyway, total racket.
Total racket.
Then we have to go back to Urbana later that evening.
We were lucky. We got to say, truth be told.
He didn't charge us.
He did not charge us. And this is when it comes in to be really lucky, to be happy-go-lucky Americani and a real strange sight to see.
Because on his door, it said it is 70 euro plus VAT.
And he said, don't worry about it, which means he also knows what a racket.
Yes. And basically, he said no to 200 euros.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, I guess. I guess he knows it's...
We were like, oh my God, as we walked out of there, we felt so lucky. But we weren't done.
We were not done that day. So then we have to get what's called a Marco di Bollo, which is a tax stamp that you get from the tobacco shop. They used to be 14 euros 62 cents, and now they've gone up to 16 euro. And basically, any kind of document that you submit for any kind of state certificate or anything to do with anything has a little thing that you...
It's kind of like... Their notary here is really hardcore, like a lawyer and all of that. It's almost like, not a notarized thing, but it makes it a tax. I know it's a tax, but it makes it like that much more official to me.
No, it's a way for them to get $16 for anything you turn in.
Just a freaking piece of paper.
For a little stamp. Anyway, so you have to buy one of those. So we needed two. And then go back to the auto school because that day the official from the Department of Health will be there.
So doctor number two for the day.
Doctor number two for the day. So doctor number two, this was easy because he would call, he. This is part of what you pay for the auto school. So instead of having to go to his office, the auto school brings him in once a month, and all the students who want driver's licenses do the eye test and right there. So we go in with another piece of paper with the tax stamp on the top and our picture, and we go into the room with him. And he gives us an eye exam. Now, I'm used to read line one, read line two, read line three. No.
Me too.
He just wanted us to read one letter of three different lines just to make sure that, you don't need to read.
It was about a 2.5 minute test at most.
Yes. Then he shows you three different pictures from a colorblind wheel. And if you're supposed to see the numbers. And stamps it four times, and that's it.
He puts the stamps and the signature on top of your photo, which I thought was hysterical. Well,
to make sure you can't change the photo.
I know, but I just loved it. Like, his three stamp signatures, the whole thing. I don't know. I love those. Hearing that tunk, tunk, it's just become such an Italian.
Awesome. He wants 30 euros for the 2 minutes of work.
Yes.
So now we are basically into this for... Before this is apart from the driving school does not pay for this is not part of the driving school fee. We are in this already. We could have been 100 euro for the doctor that morning, and now we're into it 30 euro for this guy and 16 euro for the tax stamp
per person. Mm-hmm.
Total and racket.
Do you want to talk about what you found out at the doctor?
I'm colorblind.
Jason's disabled.
I'm disabled. I cannot see. Greens on pinks from greens, kind of.
It's kind of a bummer.
You just always said I've been colorblind.
I know. Actually, it was incredibly vindicating. And I felt like... I felt top of the world, to be honest. But then I also felt horrible that I was like, shit, he's colorblind. But I felt like I know it. And he was like, can you believe this? That's what he kept saying in the car. I said, we've been together 15 years. I've freaking been telling you this forever and you never believe me. So I was on cloud 9. I know that's horrible to say.
So after whatever. Okay, listen, I might be colorblind, but my vision is perfect.
I know. I think that's part of why I savor it a little bit, because you have perfect eyes.
You're blind.
I am so blind, and it drives me crazy. I'll have my glasses on, and he can still read something even farther than that, and it's just like, oh, man. So I feel like this was my one little notch in the eye department.
Savor it.
I've got this.
To wrap up this story, so getting out of there, we bring our certificates now that have been stamped 16 times by the guy who takes our eye test. We bring it to the front desk. He, in turn, gives us, I shit you not, 6 different slips to go to the post office to pay.
It was eight. It was 3 of the red and then 1 of the black.
All these different little fees. 25 euro for this. 16 euro twice for these two things. 200 euro for that. 75 euro for this. I have no idea what all these different
things are. No, I was so confused. I was like, I thought we just pay for everything right now. Like, why don't we just get this over with?
We brought a bunch of cash. I know. I want to pay everything at once with cash and be done with it. No.
They want a nickel and dime you on your way to that.
It doesn't all go to the auto school. This is what I mean by that everyone has their handout for $50. Mm. If you had to do this on your own, you would have to figure out all these people want wire transfers. It's not like you can go in and pay with a check. They want you to send these wired through the post office. So you would have to know the routing numbers, blah, 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 of all these 6 or 8 different places to send the money. So that's why it's a racket. They make it so difficult to do that you have no choice but to use this service for auto school at a cost of 700 euro each.
Oh, my God. Needless to say, Jason is so excited.
Not only that, I have to go to the stupid auto school 3 times a week, and all they do is sit you in front of a computer and give you practice tests. I can sit in front
of... Yeah, it's not like you go in and it's teacher doing a class.
No, they'll answer any questions you have.
No, but I mean, do you remember when you took driving school? Like, you sat in a room with class, like 20 kids, and they're going over a bunch of stuff. That's not how it is. You just go and do practice tests on a computer.
They give you a book, you go and take...
We haven't even gotten any book.
Well, we haven't paid for anything. We haven't paid for the majority of it yet. They give you a book, they sit you down in front of... There's computer time, you take the practice test, and if there's a section you don't know... They go over that section with you.
Here's the bitch of it, too. As we're filling out all this shit, the guy's saying, the old man who runs the place, it's like a father-son duo. He says, it's crazy that they don't take, they don't transfer driver's licenses from America because they do it from countries that don't even exist. And I was like, I know, we've gone over the list. And
we've
we talked about the list on the podcast, too. But it was
Live in Japan and drive on the opposite side of the road, no problem. Italy will give you a driver's license without having to do this. You live in some nowhere African country, no problem.
No problem.
It's a racket, man. Like I was saying on the raid home, I would rather just pay 1,000 euro and not have to go through this. Because now it's going to be weeks of my life wasted towards this.
You're going to kick and scream every step of the way.
Oh, my God.
Just wait till we have to do the practice driving and we're in a car.
When I have to do 12 hours in a car with
other
teenagers?
People. Uh-huh.
Awesome. It's a good use of my time. All right, enough of that. So that is this week's installment of
Bitching About Bureaucracy. To be continued, I am sure.
Just to touch on it real quick, the country of Italy is going to have a new government. We have kicked our prime minister out and we're going to put a new one in. I don't understand it. It seems like not a really good way to get anything done having the current prime minister, Renzi. No, is that the new one?
That's the new one.
Letta. Mm-hmm. Letta was in office for 10 months.
Well, I can't comment. I don't understand any of it. And all I do know is that there was no vote.
No, it was because he had that weird coalition because no one actually won.
But I just mean no one elected this guy.
No. It's a mess. Italian politics are such a mess. We're so screwed.
Do you guys watch House of Cards? We binged watched it over Valentine's weekend.
All right. So that's our...
No, but I'm just thinking politics and that idea of getting in office without being elected.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Weather, burn, baby, burn. What's burn, baby, burn?
We've been doing outside work.
Oh, yeah. It's been so warm. We talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. Spring is like early spring here. So we have gotten to do one of the Godster's favorite jobs.
Oh.
Burn hillsides.
Burn, baby, burn.
So I grew up in California where you, in the summertime or any time of year, grass fires are burning things or throwing any, like...
Think about it.
Matches.
Two things that were huge killers in California: black mold and wildfires.
Yeah.
Those two things are embraced heavily here. You live with black mold. Every house has it, basically. They're like, who cares? And you learn to burn your hillside.
So we did our annual. Usually we do it about this. Yeah, maybe a little later.
Well, the past couple years, we've had snow this time. It's been cold.
Gaji gets a torch or his tree branch that he's currently smoking on and lights the hillside that runs along the road in front of our house absolutely on fire. Like, shoot, the whole valley.
Well, this time it was really raging because it was a really windy day. And boy, it took that flame with it. And you guys burnt a nice chunk of the...
It's so satisfying.
Fire
does a better job at cleaning a hillside in 5 minutes than I can do in 5 days.
It is satisfying. But the way you... we burned some of the bushes.
Yeah, we did burn. We got a little crazy with ourselves. It's all right. They'll grow back.
It'll grow back. But we did. We started clearing the hillside and the bushes. I was cutting the... What do you call them? Just bushes, I guess.
The hedges?
Yeah, the hedges. Thank you. And topping them off and everything. It's a ton of work. It's good to get started, though. It feels really good to get started in February.
And get starting to move. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I won't feel as fat come...
No. Conflicting reports. One good friend says we don't look as fat as we did last year. And Jason's brother said we look fatter than ever. So either way, we're fat. But...
This time of year brings me to we'll talk about planting seeds real quick. We got our seeds in the mail that we're going to do for this year. Carolyn, our neighbor down the road who has the greenhouse, she does the ordering of the different, you know, the new varieties of everything we're going to plant this year. Couple of things that we're going to add is a tomato called a dottorino, and look it up. It's a small...
Oh, we're going to start growing those? I love those.
I use dottorinos to make my Papa Al Pomodoro. It's a very small, sweet tomato, like a grape shape. It's got a very thick... It's got like a thick
think
skin.
Of a sweetness of like, yeah, a grape, or way sweeter than a cherry tomato. And yeah, it's got a... It almost looks like a Christmas light or something. The
it's
way
an oblong shape.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
a little
really
nip
good.
At the end.
Other new ones that we're going to do, I don't remember. I don't have them in front
of me. Other peppers and stuff I know. You guys, we've been just so hooked on spicy peppers.
Yeah, we're going to, Peruvian, original heirloom potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do those. We went
the purple potatoes.
We went to the Fritz Museum in Bruges, the French Fry Museum, and they talked all about potato. The most interesting part, I thought, was the potatoes and how potatoes are originally from South America. I think it was Peru.
I think so, too.
And potatoes come in all these crazy colors and these weird, like, patterns on the inside, and they're not...
Kind of the veins.
Yeah, and they're not... They're tubular. They're not... Tubers? They're not really roundish oblong like a cultivated potato is. So I want to do some of those this
kind
year.
Of more fingerling style, like that kind of
shape.
Yeah,
that kind of shape.
And of course, Gaji is totally not on board.
No, Gaji is not on board at all. He calls it, I don't even want to repeat what he calls it.
Yep. But, I don't think we can.
If it's outside of the normal, well, dottorini tomatoes are okay.
Oh, but yeah. But otherwise, it's
Peruvian
like
potatoes and. Those kind of things, no. But if you have not ordered your seeds or gotten your garden plan going yet, I think you need to get on that this weekend.
I know. We've got some listeners and old guests from Texas, for example, who were emailing me saying that they've started their garden and
rotated your crops? Do you know what should go next?
When are we getting the fertilizer?
Pierre Angelo has
the
it all.
Delivery of poop.
I'm not going to put the poop. I'm not going to put a poop pile in front of the garden like three years ago.
That basically was my question.
Oh my god! Hey, if you want a ridiculous infestation of flies. Take a couple of dump trucks full of horse and cow manure.
Fresh,
and dump it in front of your garden, which is 50 meters from your house. See what happens.
It's a great way.
It's a good experiment.
Your neighbors will love you.
So this year I've learned I'm going to leave the poop at Pier Angelo's to age. And then when I'm ready, he will fill up a dump truck and bring it over. And then we'll just extend it. And then.
Okay. That's a good idea. Better. That is a way better idea.
We're learning. Hey. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of Pier Angelo, the neighbor we've talked about before, he brings our wood and cuts our herbe, he does our big farming equipment and stuff. He stops by the other day. We're just on the street and he stops the car. And what kind of car was he driving?
I don't know. Like a little, like one of ours, like some kind of Citroen or whatever.
And it is full, packed in. This is, so I'm trying to say, it's a little car like you'd see in the city.
It's yeah.
Not a
four-door, tiny, subcompact car.
Yeah. This is not a pickup truck or anything like that. And it is filled with 80 hens. Or 80
chickens.
Baby chickens. And it was just hysterical.
In big brown boxes with holes in them.
I mean, to the roof. Front seat, back seat, everything's laid down, and it is just packed. And I thought, I wish I should have taken a picture of this. And he was complaining about the price because he had to pay like 10 cents more.
It went from €3.80 a little chick to €4.
Yeah, 20 cents. And he was up in arms, but it was just hysterical because he's an absolute character. And just to see this full car drive away with the boxes, I don't know, it cracks me up. I love it.
It's great. So, what's going on around our neck of the woods. We are, I found something interesting on the local.
The local.it,
which is a English language, Italy's News in English. They don't sponsor us or give us any money, but they should because we talk about them on the podcast all the time.
It's not a place for long articles of things, but it's just great snippets.
Yeah, you can get an idea of what's going on, and then if you want to research further,
exactly.
There's links at the
bottom. Or if you're coming to Italy, great talking points or those kind of things.
So if anyone out there is listening and works at the local, hey, we would love to sponsor. Have you sponsor us. We don't want to sponsor you.
We're open.
Yes, we will. We are definitely open to that. So one thing caught my eye because it's mostly a bunch of this week. It's been a bunch of political stuff, and I don't want to get into that. But we want to do the top 10 most romantic places to propose in Italy because a lot of you are maybe coming to or wanting to come to Italy. And if you're not looking to propose, maybe just want to go to a nice romantic spot.
Yes.
All right, so the first one.
So we figured we haven't looked at these at all. We figured we'll go through them and we'll comment as we go and maybe add a few of our own. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, the Orange Gardens in Rome.
Beautiful.
Impress your lover by taking them up the Aventine Hill and along Via di Santa Sabina. At the end, you'll find Rome's secret keyhole. Look through the Knights of Malta's garden and see St. Peter's Basilica perfectly framed.
It is really pretty up there. I've been up there a few times, and that keyhole is awesome. It's a really great perspective to see St. Peter's Basilica. And it is the Orange Grove. Beautiful spot.
Thing about Rome is once you see the historic city center, you have to get out. There's like spots. There's no, like, downtown Rome, you know, like, financial center of Rome. Is there?
Well, there's, like, the shopping areas
that. Yeah, but there's no, like all the cool stuff to do with the aqueducts or this thing is kind of outside of the historic city center. Mm-hmm.
It's, you might not think it, but getting a tour guide for the day in Rome, I think I've talked about it before, seeing the Vatican stuff, but my grandpa came to visit, and he had just had surgery and was a bit having a hard time getting around. So we hired a tour guide with a car, and we got to see some of these kind of off-the-beaten-path spots, which was really cool and a great way to get around. What's number two, Jay?
Number two is the Porto Venere, Gulf of Poets in Liguria. I've never been to Liguria. We need to go.
I know.
What better place to propose than surrounded by landscapes that are said to have inspired writers such as Lord Byron and Percy Bysshe Shelley? Obviously, I've never read Percy Bysshe Shelley. While any stretch of this beautiful northwestern coastline will do, head to rocks around the seaside town of Porto Venere, where a grotto was named after Byron. It looks absolutely beautiful.
We've never done the Cinque Terre or any of that.
No, I don't really want to do the I don't really care. It seems touristy to me. But I would like to go to Liguria, or this part of Liguria. Number three. Oh, Doge's Palace in Venice, of course.
It's Doge's.
I just see D-O-G.
He thinks dodgeball. Yeah. He's seen the Dodgers.
I wouldn't go. This is a beautiful place, but
I
wouldn't.
I would not propose there. First of all, throngs of tourists.
Yes.
Horrible. What? What did you say? Oh, that guy just stole the ring in my hand? Like, this is not some cruise ship disembarking or... No, this is not the place to propose. Wrong. Move along.
Okay.
Venice is beautiful, but...
Should I read the little caption or no?
No.
Okay. Ashley poo-pooed that one.
Venice is pretty. If you're going to visit, do it in the complete off-season, like January.
Or get there, like, wake up early and walk around, because once those cruise ships drop off 50,000 people, forget it.
Horrible. And the warmer it is, oh, it just gets tighter and tighter. Spring there is really pretty.
Positano, the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, this is like total Trent and Trudy. Like, oh, you're such a card.
Well, hold on. What's Trent and Trudy?
Trent and Trudy is the, this is Jason and Ashley's alter ego when we travel.
No, it's not our alter ego.
It's our fake personality when we are in a place that
like
is
Positano.
Like Positano.
Trent would be wearing khakis.
It's our yuppie version. It's the yuppie version.
Yeah, Trent wears khakis and dock shoes. He has a polo shirt on and a sweater tied around his neck.
Yes.
What's Trudy in?
All Ralph Lauren and sweater as well. Cardigan is a must. And
sensible shoes, sensible haircut.
And we like to say, oh, you're such a card, Trent.
You're such a card.
Oh, Trudy.
So that's when we went to Positano. You saw a lot of Trent and Trudy's.
That being said, we also stayed another extra night because it's so gorgeous.
Super expensive, yes. Totally worth it, and absolutely gorgeous. So it's a dream place that isn't quite real. John Steinbeck, the celebrated American author, reportedly said of Positano in the 50s. It's fought of stiff competition to be widely described as the most romantic spot on the Amalfi Coast. For almost a guaranteed yes, propose on the balcony of your rented, colorful, yet crumbling apartment. Yeah, the places you stay are just in total disarray because they know you're going to come there regardless.
Also, something really interesting. I remember the best places we ate in along the Amalfi Coast were not on the water. In fact, they were the ones higher up. Weirdly enough, one of the best restaurants was along the side of the road and cliff road that you drive. And you would think, what? This is so weird. But it's all the touristy shit right down at the water's edge.
If you want to get a good meal in Amalfi, we found you go up the hills, mm-hmm. not down towards the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any city on the Amalfi is gorgeous.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's just stunning.
Again, touristy. So.
Yes. What do we have as number five?
Click to continue. Here we go.
Volterra?
Taormina.
Oh.
Taormina, Sicily, the ancient theater. What a better way to get the fires burning than proposing the shadow of a volcano. The town of Taormina sits on the Sicilian coast next to Mount Etna, the island's famous volcano, which continues to erupt with dangerous regularity. It's erupting right now. Head to the town's ancient theater to pop the question.
All right, let's talk. We've been to Taormina. Okay, Taormina is Trent and Trudy too.
Yeah, Taormina is real, real trendy and real touristy.
Yes,
really expensive.
Super expensive.
Is not that expensive.
No, I would say there's so many other places in Sicily, unless you really like the. I mean, it is very picturesque, like Positano. However, it's very much more not manufactured. But
oh yeah, manufactured.
Like it's all shopping, and I don't know. I feel
I found the shops were just shops that you can find in any anywhere in Europe.
I don't know. It's pretty, and we stayed there, and we enjoyed it. But I have to say, I like Siracusa better, for example. Like
Ortigia.
Yeah.
Mount Etna is incredible. There's a lot. Taormina is on top of it.
You have such an incredible view of Etna.
Go to Taormina for the day,
yeah,
and don't go stay there because their restaurants kind of suck.
That's true. I think we like ordered pizza or
did.
Something.
The views are spectacular. It's really expensive, and there's other places you can stay.
I mean, why Taormina is so beautiful is, like we said, you have this incredible. You're higher up on this hill. You're not down at the water. No, so you're not on the water.
Yeah.
But you have these incredible views. So you're looking down on the water and almost not a bird's eye, but a straight across view at Etna from like your hotel balcony. And you just think, oh my God, it's stunning for the views. And it's very picturesque walking around, taking some photos, but there's not the substance, the authenticity the grit. Like I would still say Napoli, like not as a romantic place, but like there's way more, I don't know, something.
Yeah, it's tourist. It's manufactured. Tourist, yeah.
All right, moving along from Taormina.
Okay. Next one, Julia. Juliet's Balcony in Verona.
I disagree again.
Those are the perfect proposal spot. What better side of the greatest love story ever told? What?
Okay.
Okay.
I majored in theater. I love Shakespeare. Yet we all know this is not really
This is not really Juliet's Balcony.
No. I don't know. Please. There's so many proposals on an empty, quiet beach somewhere in
Verona's
Italy.
Verona's gorgeous.
Verona's beautiful, but some of these things seem just a little bit like cop-out cheesy.
Cliched.
Yes.
All right. Don't propose
maybe
it.
It's cliched, but I'd say a hot air balloon ride in Montici in the sunrise. Like, that's gorgeous.
Okay. Bellagio and Lake Como, jutting out into the water where the two sides of Lake Como meet. Bellagio boasts the most picture-perfect location on the Italian lakes. Propose on the promenade and complete your romantic getaway with a boat ride around the lake or stroll in the mountains.
Stroll in the mountains.
Lake Como is beautiful. Uh-huh. I've never stayed because we cannot afford it.
Yes, so we can't really comment so much. Normally, we've gone through it when we're passing through to visit our friends in Zurich or something or in Switzerland.
The lake districts are gorgeous.
It is.
Lake Como is the most famous, the most expensive, and the most packed.
You can try to find George Clooney's house.
But there are several lakes in that region, and another one to kind of check out that will be less crowded and less expensive is Lago di Garda.
Yes, that is hugely popular with our guests as well.
We found a lot of people, not so many. I think Lake Como is for a richy rich crowd.
I think
so,
too.
We don't have a lot of people going to Lake Como.
No, just our richy rich friends.
Just the richy rich friends. Okay, so next one, but I'm sure it's gorgeous.
Number 8.
The Rose Garden in Florence. Hundreds of lovers watch the sunset from Florence's famed viewpoint, Piazza Michelangelo, beating off the bag sellers and talentless buskers. unknowingly just steps away from the Tuscan city most romantic spot. Down a few stone steps is the Rose Garden. Same sunset, same view with flowers. It's true. It's kind of hidden. The Rose Garden is absolutely beautiful. Florence.
Just like you were saying about Rome, any time you can get outside of it and have a kind of a look back is really,
it's really
nice.
It's even nicer than being in Florence itself. Of course, we don't need to go into what's in Florence because pretty much if you're someone into Italy, you know about Florence. Not my favorite city, though.
No, we prefer Siena over Florence.
But that's because we like to hate. The Blue Grotto in Capri, a short ferry ride from Salerno in southern Italy. Capri deserves its title as the Island of Dreams.
Mm.
An escape to the Mediterranean island will present ample romantic moments, but none quite so memorable as a trip to Capri's Blue Grotto. Take a boat ride into the caves and propose above the glowing blue waters. Yes, absolutely gorgeous. The two islands, Capri and its sister Ischia, off the coast of Napoli. Or this says you can get one from, where is it?
Positano.
No, a ride from Salerno. There probably is one there, boat ride there. Let's talk about Capri for a minute.
Okay.
First, you want to tell the story?
Yes. First of all, you might be thinking, where's Capri? You mean Capri. So we were... Before we moved to Italy and we were planning to move, we might have told the story before, but we went, this was actually when we were looking for going to for our honeymoon. We went to the tourist office in New York and
the Italian Board of Tourism. Board of Tourism for all of the United States is
for North America.
Yeah.
And we're talking with this woman and she's giving us some information. We're saying we're going to be in Italy all this time. Where do you recommend? And she's just giving us like the stock answers, and which was kind of a bummer. And we were like, yeah, all right, Rome, Florence, Venice, whatever. Like, where do you live? And she was like, I'm from Capri. And I said, oh, Capri? Like,
Three or four times you corrected her.
I corrected a woman who was from this island on the way she said her own island. So embarrassing and so retarded and classic me that I'll never forget it. But
She probably won't either.
Probably not. But so that's so it's definitely Capri, not Capri. Capri. If you want to sound a bit more Italiano. But also it is much more touristy Capri than Ischia.
Yeah, Capri has the docks for the cruise ships. So again, it just gets absolutely nuts.
So again, I would disagree with this list, and instead of Capri, I'd say Ischia, which if any of you have seen The Talented Mr. Ripley, and I'm sure many of you have rewatched it or seen it recently due to the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who was in it, the actor, great, creepy, beautiful film, and a lot of it, actually, when they talk about being in Capri, takes place in Ischia on this island, and it is beautiful.
Much less touristy, cheaper, and absolutely freaking gorgeous.
It's one of those places I dream about going back.
You can get the ferry to Ischia or Capri from the same ferry dock from Napoli, or this one said further south, and I'm sure it's true.
And it's just, I don't know, there's not so many inhabitants, like how many?
I don't think there's a lot of people who actually live on Capri.
I don't either.
I just think it's got the cruise ship dock, so
yeah,
it's
done.
Each one of those cruise ships holds 8,000 people. So,
and those islands are not big.
No. What else? Oh, Ischia is known for its thermal waters. Mm-hmm. It has these natural cold springs and hot springs. And that's what – it's really popular with Germans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a lot of people in Tevas and black socks.
Listen, I'll take the Tevas if I don't have to take the cruise ships.
That's true. Ischia.
Ischia, do it. All right, next one.
Oh, hold on. One other thing. These caves, I'm sure, are gorgeous, but just like we just when we went to the caves, the Frassati caves, to look at the stalagmites and stalactites last week with Craig, it's awesome, but they will run 1,000 people at a time through there. So it's kids, and these caves echo. So if you're in the height of the season, there's going to be you and 14 other boats full of 20 people in these caves. And it's going to be hard to hear yourself think.
When we were in Greece last year at this time, we did a cave, a boat cave trip.
And it was just us.
It was so incredible. And we kept thinking the infrastructure set up at this place, they were preparing for opening for the next season. And you could see the way they had all the parking and for the tour buses and the lines to be set up and how many boats they had. You could just, you're starting to do the numbers. We work in tourism. You're thinking, oh my God, how many people like are they bringing through here? And for us to be the only boat was so tranquil and quiet and stunning. And it just made it a bit more magical than, like Jason is saying, exactly having a school group come through or, you know, all these kids and stuff and just having it be so loud in there. That think about that when you're going on, those kind of cave trips for sure.
Oh man, we're the haters of this.
Oh my God. I knew this would be on the list. That's why I brought it up.
Love walk on the Cinque Terre.
I mean, look how pretty it is.
It's gorgeous. But again,
let's go just take some pictures.
Again, there's no cars, and every person that we have talked to that has either come from or been there say it's great, but it's a traffic jam on the hiking trails.
Mm-hmm. And we heard the Germans are feisty with their sticks.
Yeah. The Germans get fast and loose with their walking sticks. So it's picturesque and it's beautiful and it's absolutely, you know, spectacular. But unless if you're going to go in the tourist season anywhere between May, you know, April and October, it's going to be absolutely crazy packed with people. So I don't know if it's a great place to propose.
True. If you're a hiker walker. Like,
yeah, but you get down on one knee and then you get some German guy who gives you an elbow and a walking stick to the side of the head to get out of the way of the trail.
If you like to hike, I'd say do it up in the Alps. Go up to Alpe di Susi and go up to the Dolomites and go for a gorgeous hike. You're not going to see the sea, but it's just going to be you up there on these alpine meadow hills.
Or Val di Aosta.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that we were saying that one all wrong.
What is this? Number 10?
That's it.
Oh, number 10 of 10.
Cinque Terre. Pretty. So yeah, we poo-pooed that whole list.
I know. What would you put on the list? Where do you think's romantic out here? Like I said, the hot air balloon, I know it's a little cliched, but that is really spectacular and something completely different.
Well, see, I'm one who likes I think the middle of nowhere with rolling green fields and, you know, the one tree in the middle of the field and the brook, and that's me. But some people like the, they think, you know, being on the Spanish Steps is the most romantic thing, even though there's a million people everywhere and people trying to sell you and hawk you different stuff and all that. So to each their own, my friend.
Oh, there you go.
But we've been married. I'm married. I don't have to do it. I don't have to think of that crap anymore.
It's true. So romantic.
So
this
romantic.
One. Oh, I almost forgot. We took down some of the sausages. They've been curing really well. And I just thought we could do a quick update on that. Also, because when Gaji popped over the other day with Rosanna to have lunch and wanted to have some of the sausages, they were so good. He cut down some of his. And we ate a bunch of them.
Gaji came over and he wanted to have lunch with him and Rosanna. They came from Fano for a couple hours to do something.
We didn't have anything ready.
We had nothing. They brought a wedge of cheese and a loaf of bread.
They like travel with their favorite type of bread.
Yeah, and they just wanted to have a dried sausage, some salad, and a little crust of bread. So I went up and I got a rope of dried sausages down. Now, we made them together, but Gaji put a red ribbon on the ones that were his. So I got his because I thought if I put the ones that are ours, he'd be like, why are you bringing these? I want to try my sausages.
Exactly. Even though they were all made at the same time, of that batch.
Yeah, because that's the way he is. He's a ball buster. So I thought, I'm going to outsmart him. I'm going to pull down his so he can't say, I want to try mine. Well, he starts eating them and he looks.
They're delicious.
They're delicious. He doesn't realize it. And then he gets to the little red ribbon on the rope and he goes, you pull down my sausages? I go, yeah, why not? He goes, we just ate six sausages.
He starts counting them and he's like, wait a second. You owe me six sausages.
He's like, I brought the bread. I brought the salad. What are you bringing to this party?
He's like, and you cut down my sausages. And I said, at least they're good. And they were, this year, I don't know. Maybe it's just the early. I think I like them when they're still early like this.
Yeah, they're softer. But the sausages are starting to get put under the vacuum seal. The salamis are almost done. And
we're starting to eat her. We had some leftover sausage meat fennel. Sausage. We didn't have enough casing.
We didn't
casing.
Have enough casing, so I had like 2 kilos of just the meat.
That's like a oh darn mistake. That it's like that kind of sort of.
Well, I had to put it in the I had to freeze it because if it was just sitting in the fridge, it was like, what are you gonna make with me today?
We eat a lot of sausage.
But
seriously, like 3 times a week?
No, once or twice. Well, it's hard because when you have. Couple of 150 kilo of sausages upstairs, it's just easy to go, let's go pull one out. And they're delicious. They're absolutely delicious.
I know.
All right, let's bring it home.
We got our song.
Oh, we got the song of the week. Yeah, what's the song?
You're right next to it. It's by Minka.
Who's number one?
Super Mina.
Oh, Mina, not Minka. Sorry.
We have no idea who this woman is.
I don't, but Rosanna told me about her.
Okay, her name is Mina. And it's Rosetto sul Coletto. What does that mean?
Lipstick on the collar.
Ooh.
So enjoy the music.
You have to bring it home.
I know. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's
nothing else?
No.
All right. It's time to get hit in the road. So thank you for tuning in, listening to us. As Jason always says, share it with a friend. We thank you guys so much for passing it along and leaving comments and feedback on
iTunes or Stitcher.
It really, really helps. And you guys know I love the numbers game. And so you can find us at latavlamarque.com. You can send us an email at info@latavlamarque.com or Facebook at latavlamarque, Twitter, YouTube, Vimeo,
Instagram
at Ashley Bartner, ASHLEYBARTNER. Instagram, follow us because I put a lot of behind the scenes stuff or stuff that's not really on Facebook and Twitter and all of that. But how do you spell latavlamarque? LATAVOLAMARCHE. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, arrivederci.
Ciao, enjoy Mina.
Tracce di rossetto son sul tuo colletto, trova qualche scusa, sai che son gelosa, tu mi devi dire chi oggi t'ha baciato, non tenere stare lì, dimmi com'è stato, non il mio rossetto, c'è sul tuo colletto, quello che io uso. Ha un colore che io uso anche